All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
All right. Let's open our Bibles. Let's quickly get into the teaching of the Word of God today. Today we'll start from the book of Psalm number 2. We'll get back to Psalm 2 once in a while. The book of Psalms number 2. 1, 2, let's go. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for this morning. As we go into the teaching of the word, we open our hearts to receive from you insight, understanding, and wisdom. And because we know you have granted it to us, it deserves our, that's why we left our homes early this morning. That's why we are tuning in from different places. Not like we have nothing else to do, but because we know your word is life. Because our hearts are open, we declare as follows.
Now,
the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It's giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. This morning I hope to conclude something I began to say last time. I'd hoped to conclude last time, but I just realized I had some more things to say about it, about this issue of not being foolish and walking in wisdom in life. And I don't know whether it's early this year or last year, we talked about the walk of wisdom. And I'd like us to get a whole series of messages, the walk of wisdom. All right? Okay, so I want to just try and conclude that, all right? So let's open our Bibles to start today. I would like us to read from the book of Genesis. There are two portions we are going to read. First of all, okay, let's read first Proverbs chapter 2. Then we'll now go to Genesis. Now, let's just read from Proverbs chapter 2 to start. We're going to read quite a long one, about 17 verses. I mean, for that reason, jump here and there, just to save our reading time. Now, the book of Proverbs, you know, the first few chapters, I believe, were the Proverbs that David taught to Solomon. And then Solomon built upon that. He said, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, if you will, that's what he said. If you are going to receive my words so that my commandments will be inside your heart like a treasure. He said, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, if you lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. All right? Or he stores up sound wisdom for the upright, a shield to those who walk in integrity. Guarding the paths of justice and he preserves the way of his godly ones. You will see something as you go on, that wisdom is personified. He said, then you will discern righteousness and justice, and equity and every good cause. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who live the paths of uprightness. Notice this is what wisdom does for you. Guard you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from men who speak perverse things, people who try to entice you into the paths of, away from the paths of uprightness. Verse 13. He said, deliver you from those who live the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Those who delight in doing evil, wisdom will deliver you from them. What's the work of wisdom? To deliver you from those whose paths are crooked. I mean, verse 15. And who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will deliver you, it says, from the strange woman. Remember we said that woman is not just a woman. If you follow what we learned from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it's life. And from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. That is wisdom. One of the things it does is to deliver you from those who entice you into evil that will lead to your own destruction. So if you pay attention to wisdom, it says it will deliver you from these people. Now just bear this in mind. This is what wisdom does. And then let's now go back. I said we'll read from the book of Genesis. Now, in chapter 3, you see serpent came in. You know the story. And then he deceived the woman. And she persuaded her husband. And then they both disobeyed, of course. At the end of the day, they both disobeyed the instruction God gave them. And they now found that they were naked. Now, let me just read from verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they saw that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. I'm not going to read beyond that. I just read that one to show that the Lord used to come and the man used to have the presence of God with him in the garden. And it was not a strange thing. If you read in the previous chapter, the Bible says that the Lord planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. All right? Now, please, why did he place him there? The reason was so that they would have a place of fellowship. That was the place where God used to come to meet with Adam. Now, why did I read this? You'll see in a moment. Those are the two main scriptures that I want to use to start to teach, all right, the message for today. Now, let me just do a small review of what we said last time when we started talking about foolishness, the reason why we should not walk foolishly. Solomon said to us, we read from Ecclesiastes, that at least the wise man has his eyes in his head, but the foolish man is just walking blindly. Now, let me explain what it means to walk blindly. It means you will soon run into a wall. You will soon run into a ditch. You will soon injure yourself. That's what it means to walk without direction, not to know what you are doing. We said that the word fool, when Solomon will use the word fool in Ecclesiastes, it's not the way we insult people. It was not an insult. It was a perfect description for the state of people. That is, when you don't know, the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon will call you a fool. Sometimes they call you a naive person. That if you read Proverbs, all right? That you don't know something. Basically, we are all fools one way or another, that is, in certain areas. Okay? But then there's an attitude of the wise. You may not know something, but you are eager to learn. That is the attitude of the wise. I hope you're getting my point. A wise person is an informed person. Now, the beautiful thing about information is that it helps you make good decisions that will be a blessing to you, that will help you fulfill the assignment of God for your life and your destiny. Wisdom is important. Wisdom means knowing what is right to do, proper application of knowledge. Without knowledge, you can't be wise. You can have the spirit of wisdom, but you must have knowledge. I hope you're getting my point. And the wise person goes out for knowledge in life. Very important. Last time I talked about how people easily take advantage of people because of ignorance. All right? You see somebody who is not medically trained, does not know more about human health than you do, except that he registered in one pyramid scheme or network marketing and is supposed to sell herbs. And you see human beings part with their money because somebody has a sweet tongue. If it's clothes, like I said, if it's shoes, if it's bags, it's okay. But when it's something that you will swallow into your body, you have to be very careful. You have to be very difficult to persuade. Because the person trying to persuade you, what credentials does the person have? Show me what you know. Otherwise, you see, what people end up doing that they are serving themselves, they're not serving you. But they speak sweetly. You think they are serving you, and then they take away your money. Now that's what happens when you walk foolishly. People part with their money every day in get-rich-quick schemes. There are simple things they will just tell you, you know, just a small aside. Some people came to me some time ago. I was preaching. I said something about the wisdom of God, how God gives wisdom, all right? So one young man, he now came to me that he and his friends, they had developed a machine, a generator that does not need fuel. Did you hear that? That doesn't need fuel. So you don't have to fuel it. There is a form of induction, and generation starts, and it keeps running. It doesn't have any form of fuel, no. It's not an inverter. It's not like you're powering with battery, no. So I asked him a simple question. Now, this is what wisdom does. That's having knowledge in life. I said, where does it get its power from? Simple question. Because if you run a generator, it's supposed to give me power. To power this powerful light shining on me like this. Do you know how many watts that is? Air conditioners. They are consuming energy. So I said simply, where is the energy coming from? Because you see, in science they told us, energy is neither created nor destroyed. All you do is convert it. Now, there's an expression I never heard before. I'll tell you in a moment. So I try to ask them, please, where does the thing get it? I need to know. They try to speak one big grammar. But you see, no matter the English you speak, there are certain fundamental rules you can't break. Where is this energy coming from? Are you tapping it out of the atmosphere or somewhere? Solar panels get from the sun, we know. Generators get from the one inside your petrol. Do you follow my point? Or if diesel you are using, or gas. But anyway, they seemed convinced of what they were saying. So I said, all right. They asked me for counsel. They believe that this is going to disrupt the power industry. So they are afraid for their lives. I said, it's not hard. If you have a real design like that, put it online where everybody can see it. You can go and patent it, whatever it is. And then put it online. Now your life is no longer, because if they kill you, somebody else will run with it. Anyway, that's not actually the full story. The story was when I got to the office the following week. I mentioned to one of my guys who he likes physics a lot, all right? He knows a lot of physics, even though he's a pathologist, but he's very good with physics. And then some people told me this over the weekend. He just gave me an answer. That's where I'm going. He said, United States Patent Office has banned the issuing of patents for perpetual motion machines. I never heard of perpetual motion machines until that day. He was so informed, just told me one hand, as you forget that thing, that perpetual motion machines don't exist. They cannot be designed. I said, thank you. What they call a perpetual motion machine? Go and Google that one up. Anything you see that appears like a perpetual motion machine is just a marketing gimmick. They can put something in your house that just seems to be moving endlessly without power. But actually, if you check, there's some tiny hidden source of power. And those who design it, they know. It's just cosmetic, just to make a fine thing. It really cannot power anything because it's being powered by something. All right? Now, where I'm going is that my friend just with one word, just dismissed it. Why? Information. information. He said, no, they invented this. And of course, somebody called me one day. Said, you get the emails. Now, I need to say this so that they won't deceive you. Somebody will tell you that I'm selling a 20 kV generator for 100,000 naira. Noiseless, fuelless, batteryless. Have you seen this email? You've seen the adverts up and down the internet? So one day I decided to call one of them. One man came to me, ah, these generators are available. And I said, okay, don't put your money in it. They'll just swindle you. So I got one of those messages. I don't know how I got it on an email. So I decided to call the number. So I called the person. He answered me. He said, why don't I chat? I said, no, I want to talk to you. He seemed eager to get off the phone. I said, no, let's talk now. He said, I'd like to buy this. He said, oh, this is a price. I said, okay, where are you from? I said, I'm in Enugu. He said, ah, good, we have a delivery going to Enugu by next week. So if you pay on time, we can send your own too. I said, okay. He said, no, let's just chat. He said, please, you send him chat. The guy was so eager to get off the phone. He said, this man is a fraudster. Of course, it's a fraudster. So when you see the adverts all the time. Nobody's going to sell you 10 kV generator into this naira for 250,000 naira. It's fuelless, batteryless, noiseless, and it's not, it doesn't have solar panels. And if he were to have solar panels and it's 10 kVA, go and ask those who sell solar units. They will give you a price. That is what the wisdom does for you. It just delivers you from foolish expenditure. Delivers you from throwing your money away. I hope you're getting my point. All right, just wanted to add that one to it, okay? Just to help people. They steal from people every day because of ignorance. Please, have some general knowledge. Small aside again. Never spend your money in a hurry. What did I say? I didn't hear you well. You heard me well. What did I say?
Never spend your money in a hurry.
Thank you. Don't ever feel lucky. You know, like you feel lucky. Like nobody else knows. Only you know. You are the only one they are telling now. So, quickly keep it keen and key out, whatever that means. Please, somebody brings an idea to you. Don't be in a hurry. Go home and think about it. Once they tell you, don't tell anybody, it's a fraud. It's fraud. Once they tell you, don't tell anybody, they are trying to defraud you. Please, I hope you are getting my point.
Yes.
Think about it, and please, tell somebody. Now, can I drop another word? We are not deep into the message yet. I'm just trying to get some things out. I don't care how wise you think you are. If you're a married person, don't hide expenditure from, this kind of expenditure from your wife or your husband. Now, there's something about being a wife. It's a very funny position in life. Because sometimes you may know that what your husband is doing is not right. Because you're a human being. I mean, the fact you are married doesn't mean your brain was removed from your hand and turned to your wedding band. I hope you get my point. They didn't remove your brain from your head. And all men have their own levels of foolishness. There's nobody that doesn't have. But submit yourself to your own husband, even when they are behaving foolishly. Is that not a difficult position? Okay, the guys they don't think anything is wrong with it. Well, it's a difficult position, I'm being honest with you. So what should you do, ladies? Call his friend. I hope I get my point. There's no need to fight. Alright? Just call his friend. Say, my husband is about to put our money in MMM. One man just left our home now. He said, if my husband gives him 4.5 million naira, he's going to triple it within the next 8 weeks. And this is the only money we have. If I were planning to use to make a down payment for a motor car, and the man said, I should, don't worry. Once I put it, in 3 months, we're going to buy a bigger car. And Pastor Frank said, it doesn't work like that. Now, I can't fight him. I can't stop him. So what do I do? Just practical advice. Call a friend. That's why it's good to go to church. Call his pastor. Let me tell you something. That thing, it grips people. It grips. It's like the concept of this money will be tripled in the next few weeks. It's gripping. It's a woman I know. Her husband was a bank manager. Yes, she fell for it. I don't know whether I get my point. You feel like You are in a family where you should know so much about money. Why will you fall for this? I said, what did the husband say? I said, I didn't let him know. He warned me not to do it. I said, look at him. And of course, she lost the whole money. So that's just a small tip. How do I handle that? Don't fight, though. You see, let me tell you about men. We are genetically stubborn. From the time they are children, they are like that. Nobody should boss me around. That's a man's attitude. So if he wants to do something and you tell him, don't do it. That's the very reason he will do it. That don't do it that you brought forth as an instruction. If you want him not to do it, beg him. Say, my husband, can I beg for something? Please, if it will please your lordship. I'm telling you. If it will please my lord, to please observe this for about 3 more days. While you go to pray. Will you do that for me, honey? Blink your eye, do whatever you have to do. But don't go and say, this will not work. I've told you, my hand not there. Remove your hand now. Did I put your hand there before? Some people don't know the tact. They are tacts about these things. Once you want to show, like, say, you get more sense, is the reason why those guys don't listen. Nobody wants to not be the boss in his own house. The man is doing something very foolish. He's carrying your money and going to put in a money doubling game, which we all know never works. And if it ever works, it's a trap. You come, you give them 100,000. They say, come back in 3 weeks. You come back in 3 weeks, they give you 200. Then you go back and bring another 200. Come back in 3 weeks, they give you 400. Please. I was going to say, don't go back. You have already gone. There's nothing. There's no delivering you. They know you will now go and bring 1 million. They know you will go and look for 5 million. That's what they are doing. It never works in itself. And once you bring that 5 million, you will come after 3 weeks. You say, wait. Some of them are very smart. You're like, because it's 5 million, this will take more than 3 weeks. But if you want it to be quicker, just add 1 million to it. You'll be able to move it out quicker. The moment you start showing reluctance to bring more, then that's okay. Tomorrow, it will be ready. Then they close the shop. You don't see them again. They are gone. Now, this is the painful part. This thing has been happening for the last 750 years. And people have refused to learn. You know why? The allure of quick gain is intense. See, if MMM starts again tomorrow, in this country, everybody will rush in. Nobody will say, no, it failed last time. They will all rush in. The only thing about that one, you know, when the thing failed, I told the man, this Russian man, you came to Nigeria, you don't know these people. At the time he finished with us, people had lost money. They all went to church, died by fire. The man collapsed and died. You know that's what happened to the man. A few weeks later, he was dead. I said, don't steal from these people. They go to church. I know God has given them over to lose that money, but I'm sure people went to church. Those who went to shrine went to shrine. Those who went to see the imam, they went to see the imam. When everybody cast their spell, the man just collapsed and died. That's the thing that is saving people. Otherwise, he would have been back. Okay, back to the main thing I'm saying. How do you handle it? When is that man, your husband, beg him? If you beg, he might pause. Then you go and pray and start calling for help. Egbami, you know they call Egbami? Call his pastor. Call his friends. If he still doesn't listen, just do your hand like this. Father God, into your hands I commit my spirit. You will lose the money, certainly. But God will take good care of you. Don't worry about it. I want to drop that small wisdom for some persons. All right? The Lord is good. Okay, so we saw that's why we need to have wisdom in life. That's the reason why we need to. But when I concluded with one thing, human wisdom fails. What did I say? Human wisdom fails. It's the reason why you cannot rely on motivational speakers. That's why they contradict themselves every day. One will say this, you'll be persuaded. Another will say that. You know, I saw one man make a video on why Robert Kiyosaki is a very useless man. Do you know Robert Kiyosaki? He's that poor dad. He explained in details. And he went step by step and showed what was wrong with the statements the man made. Now, please, I'm not here to say the man is wrong, all right? That any one of them. But another person right there wrote a long comment on how his life changed by following what that man said. Now, anybody who felt... Now, I read that poor dad when it was making the waves. Did that obey what he said? No. Not because I didn't believe him. I learned some wisdom from it, but I knew where my life was facing. So I faced where my life was facing. I didn't have any... Robert Kiyosaki would not give me direction. And you'll see what I'm saying in a moment. In fact, we talked about it last time. Human wisdom fails. I have a personal testimony. If I start getting involved in something, because you can build up wealth in this area, it always fails. Not because it's wrong, but because God said, bank it, no. So if everybody is doing buy real estate, like he said, of course things work slightly differently in Nigeria from where, I mean, what he wrote in his book, we don't work like that in this country because the system is very different. We don't flip houses so easily here. You understand? They do it differently. But then there's a principle behind what he's saying, all right? There's a spirit behind it. There's a principle. You can learn that, okay? However, if I decide to do that and try to build a portfolio, that portfolio or portmanteau, whatever you call it, God is carrying it away. Everybody may be doing it like it's working. The moment I start, the whole thing will just scatter. Now, not because doing business is bad, but everything takes time. Where a man's treasure is, where will his heart be? There will his heart be also. So God said to Demon Shakarian, you want to go into the speculative commodity business, it takes too much mental time. I've not given you that amount of time. A business he built started failing until he was going to get wiped out in a few days. And the Lord said to him, so he went to pray. And God said, this is not the business I gave you to do. It's okay, please, can you help me? Bail me out. So the Lord said, fine. And do you know the Lord went and woke another man up, say, go and buy that business. That one woke up at night. And he had a strong impression in his heart. Go and buy Demos' business. So that nonsense business that is failing. But the guy called. I'll make a long story short. Demos didn't even attend to him on time. And he was like, I'm trying to buy this useless business. And you're wasting my time like this. And Demos played the hard one during negotiation. Finally, they agreed. He sold to Demos Shakarian. So Demos Shakarian sold to him. And the man said to him, now I can sleep. The Lord didn't let him sleep the last 2 weeks or so while the negotiation was going on. But this is the gist. Do you know that business prospered in that man's hands? So the business itself wasn't bad. God just said to him, it's not your business. And I don't want it in your hands. I don't want you to do it. I have something else for you to do. See, David said, teach us to number our days. What does that mean? See, days have reasons they exist. Each day has a purpose. You can't be chasing everything around. You can't be chasing everything around. I entered one man's office one day. You say, Pastor Banky, there's this thing. I looked at it, Oga. It's not money. Yes, I'm not interested. He said, there's this business and all of that. He said, you are the one that can move it in my mind. You see, you don't understand. I don't move business like this. I don't. That's why I don't advertise anything here. I don't. If I'm the one doing the business, you won't hear me advertise it here. It is forbidden. Pastors advertise their business on their pulpit, not me. Me, I'm not even allowed. Not because business is bad, but you see, there's a certain amount of mind or heart space you have. If you fill it with something, another thing will be displaced. Everything takes affection from you. You have to locate what God wants you to fill your heart with. You know, one of the lies people tell themselves is that they can multitask. You know what we call multitasking? Yes. See, you can only do one thing properly. All the other things, you are multing inside. Do you follow my point? They will come inferior. They will. If I'm talking to you and you're doing something on your phone, if you interact with me enough, you will know. I pause. I stop talking. There's nothing you want to do. I will stop talking.
If you are my senior, you're so much my senior, I can't do that to you. All right? I take my eyes away from you. I have to. I'll keep on talking while looking at the ceiling, because the fact that you are not paying attention to me makes me unable to talk. But if you are my friend, my mate, or somebody I don't know, if you are my junior, I'll tell you stop that. Pay attention. I'm talking to you. If you have somebody I can't talk to like that, I'll just stop talking. And you know what? Most times, the person will not even know you stopped. So it takes them a while to realize you have stopped talking. And I don't do it to people. If you're talking to me, if I need to take a note, I will tell you, please, give me a second. Let me write this down. I remember I was talking, having a long conversation with somebody, and I needed to respond to some things. So I had to obtain permission. I said, please, if you see me write while you're talking, I'm just trying to write the thing you are saying so that I will remember to respond to everything. I do that. This multi-taxing thing, you've heard of multiple streams of income. Please, just know one thing for sure. It's also multiple streams of trouble. Don't just think it's income. Anything that's streaming is streaming both good and bad. It streams income, it streams headaches. So then my sister said they were selling houses. You know, in those days, I should come and pay. And the payment structure was good. Nice bungalow. So I said, what will I do with it? Because I live in Enugu. What am I doing with a house in Akure? So if some people go and buy, me, I'm not buying. He said, you put tenant there. I said, me, do you know what they call tenant? I don't think you do. I said, I don't think you do. Then shortly after that, you know what happened? There was a storm. And the news told us that roofs, you know, houses, it was just blowing away the roofs of houses. I said, I just said, I did my day for Enugu. Now, I will start calculating what happened. Then one day somebody will say that government wants to do road. And they are thinking of clearing some, and then they will pay compensation. Then I have to either start traveling or getting a lawyer to go and check whether my house is mapped. I say, see, you call it property. I call it distraction. Now, you don't have to think the way I'm thinking. I'm just telling you how I think. You don't have to have my own thoughts, but I'm just telling you how I think. People tell you multiple streams of income. I say, just know that every stream does not only bring income. They bring trouble. They bring distraction. So that is why your heart. See, when the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. People think every stream of income you have is taking a portion of your heart. I hope you're getting my point. So please, this human wisdom is what I'm talking about. It's confusing. Somebody say do this, and that person say do that. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, in case you don't know the kind of person I am, I've narrowed my mind so much. I can't give you all my life details preaching here. I narrow my mind. Sometimes, you know, one day some of my colleagues called me. This was 1992. They said, Banky, come. I said, what is it? That I don't hustle the way they hustle. We're all young doctors, fresh out of school, all very broke, trying to finally make something for ourselves in life. All the guys, hustling for this, hustling for that. I realized that if they try to learn surgical skills so they can go and be doing small private practice, once they struggle for something, I just pull back. I just leave them. So they just got worried one day. They say, sit down. What's going on? I said, going on about what? Yeah, they don't see me, you know, ginger like the way the rest of them are gingering for things. I don't know how to tell them. I say, where I'm going to get to in life, I will get there. This is not how I will get there. Anyone that won't come to me is, it's not like this. So. It was one of them that told me that they think I had lost my mind when I bought a Bible for one third of what I earned in a whole month. What I earned in a whole month, I bought one Bible for one third of it. And what made it interesting was that the day the Bible arrived, I was bubbling. He saw me. I was outside trying to get water. I was looking so happy. This is called a Blackie. Is it Blackie? If like say you win jackpot, though. Now worry, guy. I said, oh boy, I did. He said, what happened? I said, just delivered my Bible. So the guy paused like, Bible. The Bible is still here. I think it's in the next on the shelf in the next hall. I said, yes. Now make you happy like this. The guy now asked, how much did you buy it? I told him. I tell him, I worry guy, you know, speaks good, worry, Pigeon. It's a bank in Ovex, so. I'm just talking about waiting, I won't talk. Blessed, don't they crazy. No, those are the exact words. Blessed, don't they crazy. That is, you spent this amount of money on a Bible? See, I was looking at it like, so what am I supposed to do? It's the only way I will get it. The funny thing about this life is that I've only seen two copies of that Bible physically till today. The first one we had in my fellowship on campus and my own. It's available online now. There are notes, everything. Man had fantastic notes. One British man, Bollinger. That was what was important to me. What everybody else was hustling about, it didn't bother me. The day I got an idea to go and do one small business, God planted an angel to frustrate me very well. So I left it. Now, you know that same place where my colleagues were hosting to learn surgical skills and all of that? In that same city, years later, I returned to my church there. They are still using the Bible study scripts I prepared. When they were hustling to get patients, earn some money, I was in my house writing Bible studies. I went there later. They had a big bundle, all right? They are compiled. And they showed me that I wrote about either one third or half of it. Then when I opened to the things they said I wrote, in all honesty, I'm not trying to sound humble. I did not believe I wrote them. I still remember the leader said, are you sure? He said, yes, these are your scripts. That was when I really believed in inspiration. I read the things I wrote, and I did not believe I had that amount of understanding. That, no, how could I have written this? Are you telling me I know this much? But say when I sat down to write, the Holy Spirit used to do his writing. Years later, the church was still training the church people on those scripts. That is why, see, I've learned. Nothing wrong with all the business, multiple streams of this. All I've just found is that when I try to stream all those things, God says, I will block it. And I like to respond to his block early. Identify when it is God, and I respond because if you fight hard enough, that's the dangerous part. Eventually, it will start working. But that's because he has given up on you. How did I get into that? Talking about multiple streams and people just telling you, is all those, see, be careful. Let me, there's something about Christianity. We're talking about wisdom. Christianity has its own set of wisdom. Is that, if I say wisdom, is it okay, Mama? What is wrong with it? If I want to count my own uncle, what will now happen? He said, wisdom is uncountable. But you see, let me just tell you, I manufacture my own structure here to make my point clear. So wisdom, Christianity has its own. This woman, don't spoil my message now. I beg, I will say my own. He has his own wisdoms. Have you got my point? Wisdom in different categories. That's what we mean. Wisdom in different areas. And listen to me, people of God. Like I keep saying, it's either you're a Christian or you are not. If you want to be a Christian, if you want the power of God to be released into your life, learn the appropriate wisdom in that area. Every wisdom you go for that's different from that of God closes the door to divine power in that area. Doesn't mean you will die and go to hellfire. That's not what it means. It just means that if God wants to pour a blessing, he doesn't pour his blessing upon that which he did not institute. A structure he did not build, he can't bless. That's why polygamy did not favor David. That's why it did not favor Solomon. David built a part of his life using common wisdom, which God actually incidentally stepped down because you see, there's a, like we're talking about it yesterday, you can pollute a land with some things. Polygamy does not pollute the land. No, it doesn't. All right? Polyandry does. Polygamy does not. Alright? It doesn't cause the land to vomit up its inhabitants. But adultery does. So what God did was that instead of these men committing adultery, he allowed them to have more than one wife. People now refer to it. I say, no. See, in the beginning it was not so. What God just instituted, if you go and check it in Israel that time, even though the men had more than one wife, they even had laws concerning concubines. But those laws were so, that is, you couldn't exchange concubines just because you're happy with it. No. It was not perfect, but it did not at least it did not pollute the land. So that the land would become defiled and vomit up the inhabitants. However, It never blessed the people. It could not. There are certain things that God wants to do that will not let happen. I say it like we laugh about it, but it's fact. That's why David suffered. That was why David weakened his strength as an old man. The time he was weak and was dying that he could not go to battle anymore, Caleb had not even started taking the land that God gave to him. 70 years, David was tired. 85 was when Caleb started to take Hebron. What ended the life of Solomon, that is the reign of Solomon? His many wives. That was what happened. I hope you're getting my point. So you see, if you want to be blessed in life, all right, you have to locate God's wisdom in that part of life. And it is not always, that is not always, it's hardly the same as earthly wisdom. Unless the earthly wisdom was derived from godly wisdom. I hope you're getting my point. There are things that you find on this earth that God gave and has become, or the thing has become institutionalized, has become culture amongst people. So when you see it, if you decipher that this is in line with God's word, God's order, you obey it. But most things in life, they're not like that. Watching one man teach yesterday, it was a church thing, all right? Somebody forwarded it to me. He was speaking in a church, all right? One of these churches. One of these a bit old churches. But you see, the man is obviously a surgeon, all right? We're not talking about some things. Now, he made a statement which, I said, this is what I've been telling people. He will say, this lifestyle produces this disease. I won't tell you which one now. He said, people keep on taking treatment for it without changing the lifestyle. That's the way the heart disease. He said, look, this is the lifestyle of heart diseases. This is the lifestyle of a heart that will not have the disease. He said, but you see, what do people do? That he was talking about people, you know, obviously practicing somewhere in Europe. That listen, you come to our clinic, we take care of you, then you return to the same lifestyle. He said, why would it ever stop? And as I tell people, there are some of the things we find in this life. Eh? In fact, the man said the same thing I said. That the people develop drugs to solve a lifestyle problem. I saw another man being interviewed. He used to work for, I think he's a pharmacist. He used to work for one of these big pharmaceutical companies. He resigned. He was angry. He said, the new drug they have developed, I won't tell you the name of the drug, they're supposed to combat obesity. He said, listen, this problem did not come because of lack of this drug. So why would this drug be the solution? And he said something that people don't smoke as much as they used to. He said, why? He said, because we told them to stop. That when you tell people for a long time, they will learn it. So right now in the world of today, in most parts of the world, cigarette smoking is now, it's not, you know, when we're young, it's if you're a Christian, you don't smoke. But now if you're a human being, you don't smoke. They've drilled into everybody's heads, whether you're a Christian, a Muslim, or a pagan, like we say in Nigeria. You don't smoke. Now, of course, if some people do, but what I'm saying is that it's not acceptable. So anytime you enter a flight, this is a no-smoking flight. The restrooms are equipped with sensitive smoke detectors. So basically, if you enter a flight, you cannot smoke. In Europe, in UK, as of last week, they don't want to, I think most of Europe, they want to extend the rule to even outdoor restaurants. Because before you could smoke inside, and if you are eating outside, you can smoke. But they said, no. Now, they are banning it everywhere. So the man said, look, people are stopping to smoke because we kept on telling them smoking is not good. He said, why didn't we make drugs to stop smoking effects? Now, why am I talking about that? The man is saying that we have a lifestyle. It has a problem. We want to develop drugs to solve the problem instead of changing the lifestyle. In the same manner, every culture you find produces some issues in life. And many of the so-called motivational speech, human wisdom, is a breakdown of culture. That is divine culture. I'll give an example. You know, in Nigeria, we don't send old people to old people's homes if we can avoid it. It's a difficult, we hardly do that. Caregiver. Who's caregiver? The children. And the caregivers. But you see, a lot of, if you go, now, if you're immigrating to Europe, North America, if you want to go fast, learn healthcare related work quickly. Once it's healthcare related, you're a nurse, you're a physiotherapist, you're a doctor, you're an optometrist, anything healthcare related. If you, in fact, If you, we can, Nigeria can even start, you can talk about BSE caregiving. And this is not, this is different from nursing. Just care, you can't do it. They'll be getting jobs like this. And you know what happens? Back home, we take care of our loved ones. If the man is ill frequently, they take him to the home of one of the children. If the woman is ill frequently, she goes to stay with one of the kids. It's our culture, which is a biblical culture. It's very, very scriptural. That's how God ordained it to be. So if you say you're a caregiver in Nigeria, you care for yourself. We don't need you. But there, they don't have it. A culture came up. Don't have many children, have only one. So people had one child, two children. Then before they knew what was happening, the population started aging. Suddenly, the one child you said they should have, the two you said they should have, they need to work, take care of themselves. They have nobody helping them. So what they now do is make as much money as possible so they can pay the care home to take care of the elderly. Do you get my point? Save up, save up, save up. Because one day you are going to be alone. Your children will not even listen to you. So you now see us trying to behave like that instead of preserving a good culture. That's why I have a personal anger with the westernization of some of our lifestyles. I say you are solving a problem you don't have. Like, was the last time I was saying here that they said don't eat egg. I said, who gave you egg? Have you seen egg before? Now, I say Africans, I know they chop egg. And you're looking at him like, spell egg. If you can spell it, I will know you know what you're saying. You can't even spell egg. You are spelling it H-E-G. Egg. I don't eat egg. I don't eat egg. They can say, I don't take milk. I said, does it worry you? No. Just because of my age. And you're looking at the person like, you look at the person, what kind of nonsense is all of this? You see, the African matter is, I don't eat that. You know why? He stays online reading a lot of nonsense. I've seen people argue with me before, and I'm looking at the person and say, do you know who you are talking to? Because you went to useless websites, you creamed information here and there. Don't worry, I studied this thing down to molecular level. So what's your problem? And I keep on telling them that you are solving. Now, this is where I'm going. You see them trying to solve a problem they don't have. The European or the white man that says, or North American that says, don't eat egg. He knows why he's saying so. It's like us saying that we don't want to eat too much garri. Yeah, when we're young, there's what they call Ijesha shakes. It was described in UCH Ibadan. Because they cover that area. They have the big English. Tropical ataxic neuropathy. So when we're in secondary school, they used to warn us, say, eh? You will go blind, though. And you will start having Ijesha shakes. And it was not a lie. Because when people fed themselves much on cassava products without the adequate amount, they found out that one later, of protein to detoxify it. Don't worry, those of you eat it with fish, you eat it with meat, you don't have a problem. And some of you say, you can't soak garri without putting milk. You have already killed all the toxins. Some of you, as you put garri like this, equal amount of milk will enter. It's not people like you we are talking to. Some people just pour water inside garri, just gulp it down. And they, that with a little of salt, thank you, and that's all. And some people eat like that for years. They don't know they must be deliberate about consuming proteins. So they found out in those rural areas then that they were having this problem. Now, it's just not only Nigeria. South Korea, and I think Japan, they used to have a lot of vitamin B deficiency because they ate rice so much. And the rice was processed. One of the vitamin B complex series was missing in much of their food. Now, where I'm going is that in the same manner, the man that said you should not eat egg, you know, he wakes up in the morning and fries or poaches or scrambles 3-4 eggs and puts 2 sausages beside it and takes a cup of coffee. To him, it's breakfast. You have ever done that in your life? You have never done it. Your father never did it. Your mother never did it. Your grandfather never did it. So what's your problem with egg? You, that when you want to eat egg, is one whole agige bread. One egg. Is tomato, pepper, onion with one egg. Trust me, that egg can never harm you. You see how when you want to do egg, you go first, you spend time chopping the tomato, chop pepper, chop onion, everything will first enter the oil. You now put one egg with 4 slices of yam. And you are now saying, I don't eat egg. I don't eat egg. What's the point I'm making? Stop solving problems that are not your own. You should be telling me I don't take garri. Then I know that you have a problem. Sometimes you find problems of excesses that people are trying to solve. Then those who don't have that problem will not carry it upon themselves and be feeling enlightened. I mean, wake up in the morning and I drink a cup of coffee. But like the one I found is turmeric tea. That's a new one. With a spice of ginger. It won't take you to heaven. Leave all these things. See, don't let me stay there too much. But agbo is also tea. I hope you know. Agbo. It's tea. Your mom and brought it, so brewed it. You drank it. Your own to brew it. Call it tea. Call it African tea. What you need to do, take it, chop it, put it in the bag, and seal it. And then once you can do it like this, you know that thing we do? Tea bag. It's tea. Now we're feeling like an important person because we learned a culture that's not helping you say, I don't eat this. Please, brethren, can I beg you? They give you sugar in your tea. Drink. You don't eat sugar. Where did you see it? You know how expensive it is? It is expensive. But if you live in those countries, it costs next to nothing. Why am I saying all of this? People of God, stop solving problems you don't have. Some problems are caused by certain cultures. You don't have those problems. All right? So when you are learning, that's what I'm trying to make. Know the problems people are solving before you just jump into it. When we're in school, some people say they are living a fasted life. I tried it for about 2-3 days. I realized, what's all of this? Because we read in Kenny Higgins' book that God says you should live a fasted life. And what do you call fasted? Now, that's not what I call a fasted life now. Fasted life, reading now, as far as I'm concerned, has nothing to do primarily with food. You can't be living a fasted life with food, yet you're a football fan. And you never miss any man such as a man you give. Yeah, it's not a fasted life. That's a football life. It's not just about food. You can't say that you're living a fasted life. Every UEFA Cup, you don't miss it. You're sitting down there watching 22 overpaid adults running up and down, chasing a ball that has no mind, no thought, just kicking it up and down. And you're then writing out the scores and then you say, you're living a fasted life. My friend, go and eat. Because you are doing more disservice to your destiny than the person who is eating food. We focus so much on the body, we forget the mind and the spirit. Some people are there in Okwara Square jogging up and down, gossiping while jogging. Did you hear what happened to Mrs. Ajaleko? And they're running up and down. Hey, that woman is not serious. This how she be spending her husband's money anyhow, and they are jogging. You will die fast. Do you get my point? You are so busy with other people's business. If you want to really jog, why don't you be jogging? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You run up the hill. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Hallelujah. The life of God is walking in me. Then you run down the hill. Then you are jogging. You can't be exercising physically and defiling spiritually. It doesn't make sense. That's a small thing aside with fasting. Those they say, I would live a fasted life. So, brethren were not in school. They say, you don't eat as much as you're supposed to eat. This was the painful part. The people doing fast, if you see all of us, thank God I dropped out early. People will be thin before. When they are done, you don't even know what they are looking like. Then one day we saw Papa Hagen that preached it to us. My mother was telling me 2 days ago that she saw a video and said, that man is big. I said, the man was big. Egbon was large. So we could understand why he needed a fasted life. And if, really, God would not have told that to a Japanese man or a Chinese man. Let me just give you a small tip. If you want to eat small, use a small plate. Small tip. That's a small tip. All right? Japanese, you have seen Chinese people's teacups? The size of our spoon. Can't drink plenty. The first time, this was years ago, the first time I went to the U.S., Jesus is Lord. When I saw their plates, what they call plates, in Enugu, we call it tray. When we carry it, what we do, we put a plate here, the second one here, and put a cup there. We'll not serve somebody. No. This man brings it out and slaps steak here and mashed potato here and this and that and gave it to me that I should eat. This was years ago. I said, what? Is that how you will eat here? I was supposed to go and visit one of my friends. So the guy said, my friend, the main guy I was staying with, he said, we're going to see this guy later in the day. So he said, There were three or four of us. We were just hanging around. He said, but let's not eat before we go because he said that his wife is going to prepare food for us. So let's just snack on something. Because we're out shopping, just moving around. So went to a particular place in the mall. So she gave us milkshake. The guy took one cup that was the tallest cup I'd ever seen in my life and filled it. And this was supposed to be my snack so I wouldn't eat. I was supposed to take this thing with, was it milkshake or ice cream or something? But he gave me a spoon. It was clear I was supposed to die with the devil. Why? The length of the spoon. Because the guy expected the spoon to get to the bottom. Did we take one third of it? Just took small of it, left the thing on the table for him. That's why they waste so much. So you know where I get. My stomach didn't even have the capacity. Dropped the thing on the table and left. That's how they serve themselves food. That's why God had to speak to one of them. Oh boy, live a faster life. You can't be a student on campus trekking here and there. When you go to book a small piece of fish, now they will give you for all the money. They give you a bank, cut the fish. Not this kind of fish. Take one tight toss like this and 10 equal parts. They give you a small slice of it. I used to call it a protein tablet. And then you're in a harsh life. Brother, leave that thing. Go and eat before you die of hunger. Oh, what have I said so far? Let's be careful when we're imbibing wisdom that is not our own. That's solving a problem we don't have. That's targeted for a different culture. Be very careful. Be very, very careful. It's not everything you see people do abroad that's your problem. Many of them is not your own issue. I hope you're getting my point. But we'll now say that, having said all of that, please don't forget this. Let me get this main message I'm getting into now. No matter how wise the things of the world might be, they fail. That's why somebody said Robert Kiyosaki was talking nonsense. It failed in his own life. And that person in his life, he succeeded. He wasn't talking nonsense. You know that life has what? Traps. Life does not always work the way we think it should work. You can invest money. They say your investment will go up and it goes down. And it's normal. Don't say that, like I said, the one man of God is complaining. There's no need to complain. That is how it is. That the one guy in Nigeria, I won't mention his name, very famous musician. Very, very popular one. He went and released his own coin. You know they call coin, cryptocurrency. Call it Banky coin. It's not Banky, I'm just trying to give an example. Kingdom coin. People, but when they started buying, maybe it was $1. At the end of the week, it was like 2 cents. People say, he cheated. He didn't cheat. Anybody who bought it is a mogul. You should have known that's where it will go. That's all that ever happens to all these crypto coins. Please, I hope you're getting my point. That's how the wisdom of the world is. It fails people. It frustrates people. It's not predictable. You can listen to the best investment advice in life. Things will just turn. In the world today, the man that still, I don't think there's anyone that's, the one that's still taken as the wisest investor on this earth, with experience and everything, is Warren Buffett. And when you listen to the man talk, man, the man is wise. I listen to him talk. One of the things about him is very patient. He doesn't, he said, why do you risk what you need for that which you don't need? Very wise guy. However, follow his investment skills and everything. You can get to the 15th year. And you collapse. Because one day, this life will change. God has to prove that Warren Buffett is not God. Very wise guy. I'm not taking... I listened to him. I've listened to a lot of his thoughts. Very, very wise. Like all these crypto things they are doing, doesn't, one penny doesn't put inside. He said it doesn't have any value unless somebody is fully more foolish than you to want it back from you. He just says, no, he said no, that it doesn't invest in things like that. However, follow all his investment strategies. You can do everything right. Suddenly, war breaks out. And you have to run. What do you do? You can do everything right. And then this Antichrist, who I've been talking about for a long time, finally mounts his throne. And says, you cannot buy, you can't sell unless you take the mark of the beast. And then locks all your bank accounts. You know everything in Nigeria now, which we are dead now. Everything is linked to your BVN and your NIN. And if with your fingerprint, if you put your fingerprint, they will give you your BVN, your NI, your mother's maiden name. The now says, look, you can only trade if you say Caesar is Lord. That's what when he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. You heard that before Revelation. People say it was a Sunday. It was not a Sunday. They didn't use to call Sunday Lord's Day those days. They didn't use to call Sunday this thing. It was the day in which you declare Caesar was Lord. So they call it the Lord. That Lord's Day is actually somewhere like the apostle says it's Lordy. That's the correct word. The Lordy Day. That's not Lord's Day. Some of us say it was in the spirit on Sunday. It was not Sunday. They had to declare. I think you took a pinch of incense, threw it into the fire, and shout, Caesar is Lord. And the Christians said, no, Jesus is Lord. And they sent them to prison. They killed some of them. So all your investment strategy, then what happens? Antichrist sits on the throne. And they say, come to my front and say, I am Lord. And you look and say, boss, you are not Lord. You are just the king here. And the King of Kings will come one day and take his throne. He doesn't kill you. He collects all your investments. 15 years of following Warren Buffett. And they don't give him food. Do you know how they used to torture Christians those days? You don't want to hear some of those things. It's painful. That is, your body will cringe. They tell a woman to say Jesus is Lord. She says no. They put her baby just a step away from her. The baby cries for milk. So you can't breastfeed if you say Caesar is Lord. The woman says, Jesus is Lord. They say, Caesar is Lord. The woman says, Jesus is Lord. They say, okay. And she watch her baby cry and cry until she has no strength again to cry. And the woman sit down there and say, Jesus is Lord. They torture the Christians. Now, the point I'm making is that you can do all of the saving and everything. At the end of the day, what happens? This so-called Antichrist comes. This beast comes and writes a decree. And sometimes it's not the beast himself, just a king. Write the law and all your investments go to zero. You can do everything. Money fails while you watch. This life is so full of traps. There is no way you can guarantee anything. That is with the limit of the wisdom of man. And I said last time, what is the real wisdom? It's the wisdom of God. Sorry, I've taken so much time trying to revise what we said before. But I hope I've added some new things to it. All right? The real thing we said is the wisdom of God. And that's what I want to talk about. Well, how the word of God works. I come to this once in a while when I'm teaching. All right? Now, let me start the main thing I want to say today, all right? Now, all this one so far, just revising what we have said. We read from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 17. But we also refer to that Genesis chapter 3. Now, what I was trying to bring out from there, please let me remind us of something. Now, how do I say this now? Everybody comes from different backgrounds. Genes are different. I hope you get my point. You have a natural predisposition based on two things. One, your genes and the environment in which you grew up. Those are the two things that determine how you behave, what you can do. Your genes and the environment, all right, in which you grew up. You've been formed by those things. Please bear that in mind. Now, for that reason, sometimes you're very smart, cool, decisive, progressive person. Sometimes you're just a confused, planless NFA. You know what they call NFA? No future ambition. You have no plans. You're just a crazy human being. I've given two extremes, all right? Some you are naturally unable. Some you are naturally gifted. And everything along the line can apply to people. But why did I read it from that Genesis chapter 3? Please listen to this carefully. We talked about it here at that time, talking about the new man. See, this is what God does. Now, when the serpent beats the people, all right? God didn't take away the serpent in Numbers 21, I think. What did he do? He brought another serpent. And said, take your eyes away from that serpent and focus on this one. That one was lifted. This one was on the ground. This one was lifted on a pole. And everybody will focus on it. They look at it attentively, expectantly, with a, with a what? Steady and absorbing gaze. They had to focus on it. And if they did, life flows from that into them and took care of the natural serpent. But there's a principle of that all over the scriptures, which was what happened when God created Adam. The Adam he made was made out of clay. Made all his body, every part of his body, and the genes of all of that. And he breathed into breath, the breath of life. So because of what God imparted into him, he became a conscious, self-aware being. But there's one mistake we make when we don't realize how God speaks. We think that is the image of God. No. It couldn't be for certain reasons. I won't talk about it now. Even that body was made in the image of the Son that will come. You see, are you saying it's not the image of God? I'm saying the image of God created in him. God speaks. He calls those things that be not as though they were. He declares the end from the beginning. So what am I telling you? What you read, anytime you read that, is that God was declaring the end, not the beginning. He was just declaring the end from the beginning. Now, to bring Adam to that end, that's why the Lord used to come into the garden. We talked about it before. So he sits with Adam. He talks to Adam. Adam will behold his face. And as long as Adam is beholding, he's being transformed from one level of glory to another level of glory by the Spirit of God. So what Adam was supposed to do was to continue to behold the face. As long as he's looking at the Lord, no matter the clay you make him from, whether it's watery clay or desert clay, whatever be the components, is irrelevant. As long as he's looking at the Lord, after some time, he becomes exactly what God created him to be. Do you follow my point? So that's why God is not so keen on chasing away old serpents. That is why churches and prophets who thrive on proving to you where your problem started, they really are not doing the work of God. God doesn't go chase around old serpents. Now we are going to say, what is the root? Tell your parents, show me the root of my life. Your father used to worship under the iroko tree, and your mother was an oil maid, and this and that. And that was how many generations ago? 6 generations ago. They won't tell you that your own father, natural father now, went to church. They focus so much. Please, let me just get there for a moment. They focus so much on the worship history of your natural family that they don't have time to spend. I said, these things, they displace each other. You give me 1 hour to talk. I spend 45 minutes talking about your background, everything. What time do I have to talk about your future? What Jesus is doing in your life? Please, if your pastor is preaching like that, beg him that I say you should please stop. It's irrelevant. Do you know the only serpent we really know the description of is the one that was on this, on the pole. The one on the ground, we just know they were dangerous serpents. This one was made of brass, we know. We know it was kept on a pole. We know who made it. There are details about it. Because that was what they were supposed to focus on. So instead of telling me what my history is, tell me who my Jesus is. Because as long as I focus on him, my history melts away. It disappears. Please, I hope you're getting my point. It disappears. It disappears. It disappears. So what the Lord planned was that he will come. Adam, sit down. Now listen to this. They will eat together. If the Lord came to eat, I'm not sure. I know he ate later, but you get my point. It's a fellowship. They will talk. They will walk. Enoch used to walk with God. When I say Enoch walked with God, it was not figurative, it was literal. It was both figurative and literal. He and the Lord used to take a walk. They used to walk together. So God would, what would do? He would come to Adam and they will walk and they will talk and they will sit and Adam will gaze. Now, for your information, that's what worship is. Worship is not a trick to get something. Do you get my point? We try to worship blessings out of God. When you worship him, he will bless you. That's not the aim of worship. The aim of worship is to become like him. You become whoever you worship. You become like that person. No, so that was the aim of God, that Adam, are you getting my point, will be transformed. You see where I'm going in a moment. So no matter what be our history, we're talking about divine wisdom. All right? Now, whether you are naturally smart, doesn't matter to God. Whether you are naturally a genius, doesn't matter. Whether your history was bad, doesn't matter. We're talking about wisdom now, all right? Whether you are very wise in the affairs of this life does not matter to God. That principle remains. As long as you stay in his presence and you keep imbibing his presence, you know what happens? His spirit enters into you and begins to give you the wisdom of God. Do you get my point? The longer you stay in his presence, the more you become, listen, literally, wise like him. Look, can I give you something once? Very interesting testimony. He said after he gave his life to Christ, he developed a retentive memory. They can give him a chapter in the book. He will read it once and recite it for you almost word for word. He said, I didn't have that ability until I got born again. It's a glimpse. Where am I going? Now, I ended last time by explaining to us that, listen, I have found out the way by which God changes people. Now, see, if you have never met an addict, you will feel sorry for a human being. Addiction is very powerful. Extremely powerful. No, it's very powerful. A man knows something will kill him, but he can't stop doing it. He knows this will kill him. Where I'm going is that human beings, we don't have the ability in ourselves to change ourselves. We don't. You know, you can't make yourself wise. I hope you get my point. No matter how much you love wisdom, if God doesn't grant it to you, you can't have it. That's why you've heard me say many times. A prayer I prayed, all right, that God should help me with in life. Don't give me over to deception. Don't make me foolish. Because no matter how naturally you think you can learn wisdom, you can believe what is wrong. And I meet people every day. They believe what is very false, and you feel sorry for them. Some of them, if you see how educated they are, that education is the problem. That is, they learn so much. You know, people go to school to go and study a lie, to go and study some things that I look at it, I say, here, you know, everything you have learned is not true. That is, the foundation. Okay, I'll give just one small example. Some people go to school, they go and study how to combat global warming. And you're looking at the person and say, are you serious about that? When they go to go and study how the sun will stop rising from the east and will start rising from the south. You know, no matter how long you spend studying that, you're not going to go anywhere. Now, you go to school, you learn some of those things. What you're studying, you will know how to do it. For example, if you want to tell everybody how to move from driving like this to driving like that, yes, you will succeed. But what you wanted to achieve by it is never going to happen. Now, please, in case you want to hear a prophetic word, that's what I said. When the time comes, mark my words, in your lifetime, this place becomes so cold, they will start telling us, everybody, light fire. No, where I'm going is, I see, you can go to school and study what is false. And you go, let me not get dragged into that. Something just came to my mind. Let me not get dragged into it. What am I going to explain? Listen, see, you can believe a lie. You can be so convinced what you are saying is true. Meanwhile, it's a lie. It's the reason why I pray for myself. God, please. It's not an intellectual issue. It's not about studying. It's God, please, don't make me believe a lie. Don't give me over to deception. I see people make choices and decisions every day. And I know there is no way on this earth they can do otherwise. Like we said last time, it's not within them. We talked about it briefly last time. Now, what I'm trying to emphasize to us today is how God changes it. I said, when we're ending, I said, I've never seen, and that's a matter of fact, somebody walk away from the place of the word of God, walk away from scripture, walk away from God, and prosper doing it. No, I've never seen it. Whatever is dragging you away is just a temptation. It's the way by which Satan deprives you of your inheritance. What is God's plan? I need to say this again. God doesn't always work miracles, even though he can work miracles. Most of the things he does in your life, most of the things he does in my life, they are done gradually. Did you hear my point? Most of the things he does, they are done gradually. Adam was not changed overnight. He was not meant to be changed overnight. What was going to happen to Adam, like I said, is each day, I like the way Oswald Chambers explains it. He said, what happens is that you lay down the natural for the spiritual. As you discover God, you are laying down the natural for the spiritual. Please, people of God, listen, it's very important you get this point. At each point in your life, God will demand that you lay down the natural for the spiritual. And really, just a matter of faith. Let me give an example. Now, this is not, I'm not saying go and do this. A man came to Jesus. Okay, good. Let me use that as an example. Came to Jesus Christ. What must I do to gain eternal life? He didn't say that to Peter. He didn't say that to John. Never said that to James. He didn't say that to Andrew. He didn't say that to, what's the name of our favorite guy? Nathaniel. But looked at this man, he said, sell all you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. You know what he was telling him? Lay down what? The natural. Now let me tell you something. If that guy sold 99% of all he had and gave to the poor and came to follow Jesus 99% of the times, he would not have found eternal life. Do you know why? Jesus said, what? Said all. See, there's a story I told here before about the young woman. He was just with parental consent for this young woman to get married. Of course, she needed her father to approve because you are giving in marriage. You don't just walk away in marriage. Somebody has to do what? Give. So the person who has authority has to say, okay, go ahead. Even if the person is not physically there, but at least the person must say, go ahead. And the father had the authority and he said no. First year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year. The thing dragged. I don't know the exact number of years, but it wasn't 2-3 days. So my pastor was trying to explain something to us in church. Finally, the girl got desperate. So she went and prayed. And then by the Spirit of God, she went and told her father. She knelt down and told her father she wanted to talk to her, to him. And he said, all right, what? He said, is that matter? What is it? He said, okay. It has taken all this amount of time. I realized that you have the final authority. So this is my last time of bringing up the matter. If you say no, and she meant it. If you say no, I'm going to see him and tell him I'm not marrying him again. That my father refused. But this is what I want you. If you will say yes, I'll be glad. But he asked her dad, said, daddy, I need you to say something now. And whatever you say is final. And she meant it. So the man looked at her and said, okay, go and call him. You guys pick a date. And that's how he gave his approval. All right? That's what the Holy Spirit said she should do. And it worked out that way. So when Pastor finished preaching that day in church, man, it was new to me. All right? I came from school, all right, where we used to talk nonsense. You know, when you're young, counseling each other, the blind leading the blind. Right? It didn't hit me badly. So I went and met him after service. I said, Pastor, please, this thing you preached, I don't understand it. There are many things we talk about, but there was one thing he said that I keep remembering till today. He said, everybody will go through a major test in life. That was her own test. I said, Because I found it hard. If I remember where it was 7 years. 7 years, no be my own. Like we say. Not a small thing. 7 years waiting for a man to give consent. But let's not print 7 on your mind in case I'm mistaken. But nothing less than 4 or 5. He said, everybody will pass through a major test in life. That was her own test. I said, yeah. I became afraid for my own test. Don't be scared, all right? Nobody said that. I can have 7 years. Don't worry. It won't be in the area of marriage. It may not be. It may be in the money matters. It may be in different things. But you get to a point where it will appear as if you are passing through the valley of the shadow of death. And the decision is always one of two. I mean, like, there are just two options. And one is pleasing to God. One will preserve your life. Did you hear what I said? It's always like this. Two choices. Take one out of two. One that will preserve your life. And one that is pleasing to God. There will be no third option. One that's pleasing to God. And one that you think will preserve your life. That was why Jesus said, he that loves his life is the one that will lose it. So, people will make choices at that time to preserve their life. Somebody will build a career, and one thing will be what will end the career or blow it up. That is, make it so great. Except that at that point, what they are asking you to do will displease God. And if you refuse, you can end and kill a career you have built over 12 years. Christianity is not a joke. What did I say? See, in Christianity, let me just say this. Christians suffer. What did I say? Say it loud. Christians suffer. They do. And they suffer for righteous. I'm not talking about suffering because of headache or something. That's not what I mean. I mean for righteousness' sake. You can be in an office, they will not promote you. And you will pray, and God will promote the boss. He's wicked, though. God will promote him. And the reason, now listen to me, it will, because sometimes I've seen people who are not promoted, and they say, because they don't like me. And when you ask the boss, why don't you like him? Say, that guy is irresponsible. Never listen to anybody coming to report story of persecution. Go and do your investigation, because anytime I'm being persecuted, when you hear the real story, some of these so-called persecutions that, oh, guy, you don't like my guy. It's my brother now. Say, who? Oh, that guy is your brother. Why is he not like you? He's a very stupid boy. What do you mean? He said, on Mondays, he doesn't come to work on time. He says that he went to church. They had church service till 9 p.m. on Sunday, and he was tired. On Wednesday, when we are all working, trying to get things done, he leaves that this is the day he goes to church service. That he seems to prioritize his ministry work. Are you getting my point? Now, you think it's persecution. Don't forget, this guy expects to be at work at 8. He didn't employ you part-time from your church. That one is not persecution. Did you hear what I said? People of God, that one is not persecution. That's not what I'm talking about. People don't like you because of your mannerisms or your way of behaving. Your attitude to... Some people are not nice. Once you enter the office, everybody can't talk again. You'll be singing loud. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the moon. The angels beckon me from heaven. Everybody's trying to walk. They say, please, can you stop singing? People will not stop the praise of God from my mouth. At work. At work. You will not let anybody have peace. And I don't like it. It's not because you're a Christian. It's because you have bad manners. You can turn your Christianity to an embodiment of bad manners. Anybody doing something, you want to correct them. Do you know lying is a sin? You want to lie and go to hellfire? You'll be harassing people, trying to force righteousness down their throats. Of course, they won't like you. At the end of the day, you tell them that it's because of it. It's not because of your own righteousness. It's because you are an obnoxious human being. Difficult to get along with. They want to enter your car. You made them remove their shoes. Because of the amount of money you spent yesterday at the car wash. My brother, go and wash the car again now. When they give them leave, they tell them that she contributes money for fuel. Not that saying that they don't like it. It's not your Christianity. If you go and check it, look. There's one guy I knew that time. Everywhere he walked, nobody liked him. In fact, it's another guy. I'm just thinking of many guys like this. That very religious, but unkind. I've told you before. We talked about it about 2 weeks ago. If you are not kind, you're a bad person. Somebody comes late. Why are you late today, sir? My son was sick. I told you, it doesn't matter. This one, you give him a query. He said, my son was sick. I took him to hospital. It doesn't matter. I don't want everyone. You give query. Why? Because you know the big boss to know you did something. I had one boss like that. Very, as far as I was a bad person. He just wants to extricate himself from trouble. So it doesn't matter to him how it hurts you, as long as it defends him. But we had another one that will say, hey, you, what happened? This happened. He will rebuke you, talk, no, correct you. And then, when you want to go and see the bigger boss, stay behind me. This is how this fellow will shield you entirely. Sorry, sir. We will not let that happen again. Okay, sir. We'll take the responsibility. You just stay behind me. Then when he closes the door, we'll put you in line. But when the bigger people come, yes, everybody stay behind me. Of course, at the end of the day, do I need to tell you who he liked? Some people are bad people. They want to use church. As you know, it's because, you know, I'm the only Christian there. So, let me tell you what they call persecution for righteousness' sake. When they say change the figure, you say, I can't change it and sin against God. In that case, we will not bring you into the team. Leave me out of the team. This team is traveling abroad, though. Allowance daily, $500, though. I won't change the figure. I will not retire money you didn't give me. Okay, stay there now. I will stay there. That is persecution for what? Righteousness' sake. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Now, back to what I'm going to say. So in life, we have to lay down what? The natural for the spiritual. God demands that. It's the only way we are transformed. So this point I'm making, please, this is very important. This is very important what I'm saying. This is how the word of God works. You come regularly before God's word. You come into the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit starts taking you, bit by bit, starts taking you apart. Now, let me give an example now. If you don't remember things, you easily forget. Every time they tell you, do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you forget 7 out of 5 that they told you. You forget all 5 and what somebody has told you. Now, I hope you know it's not your fault. It's possible it's the way your brain is wired. You know, brains are wired differently. I hope you're aware of that. Some people can't read, not because they are mentally retarded, but simply because their eyes don't see figures the way your eyes see them. Letters and all that. We call it dyslexia. So if you write A, B, C, D, what they are seeing, sometimes their A starts spinning in their eyes. It doesn't stop spinning. The E spins. So A and E to them looks the same. Somebody has found out the way you teach such people, you're going to use another language. Go and teach them Chinese. They will learn. Because Chinese will write differently. Yeah, use another, all these languages that draw. You know, Chinese language like that, Japanese, all those Korean, they draw. They don't use the kind of, the alphabets, the English alphabets we use, they don't use it. It's very different. Is that okay? Now, where I'm going is that, so if your brain is like that, maybe that's why you forget things. Some people have a photographic memory. They don't forget things. It's not a skill they developed. They were born like that. When you have a young child that they just 7, is doing advanced level mathematics, you think he's training. Now bring another child, say, you must learn, your brother learns this thing as. You just kill somebody for nothing. Some people use their left, you know that. Barack Obama is left, you know Barack Obama? He was a left-handed person. And nobody put that, you know, my wife, of course, my wife is also, she's like that, she uses the left. What saved her was because her parents knew about it early, so they didn't try to change it. I hope you know it's hardwired. It's not a habit. It's a part of your brain that's dominant. It's in your brain. It's, let's just say it's genetic. You're born like that. There's nothing you can do about it. And there's nothing wrong with it. Most of us use our right, and we are terrible with our left. If people use their left, they can't. Well, they end up being good with their right because people force them over time to learn to do something with their right. I'm just using that one to emphasize the fact to you that there are some things that are just natural. It's not your fault. It's not your work. It's nothing. You didn't work for it. You didn't do anything bad to become like that. If you're a genius solving mathematical, advanced mathematics at the age of 10, doing university level mathematics by the time you are 10, 11, it's not training. It's something that's inside you that just wired like that. Now, so let's take the person that can't do it. There's nothing you can do to force it upon the individual. That's where I'm going. You can't force it. So if you forget things, again, we can't force you to remember. And that's one educational system tries to decipher people's strengths and their weaknesses, showing how they can cope, improve, but you have to recognize that people are different. Do you get my point? All right. Now, back to what I'm trying to say. So there are things about you like that you can't change. But you want to hear the truth? God can change anything. Did you hear what I said? What did I say?
Anything,
whether it's good or bad, as you get to my point, can remake any human being. He can. But why am I talking about it? For him to do a remake process in certain things in your life, he always makes demand of you, always. But oftentimes, it's not in that area. For example, okay, I forget everything they tell me. Fine. So what's the skill you have? God will ask you. All right? You are very strong at defending yourself and fighting for your rights. Say, from now on, when they slap you on the right cheek, turn the left. What did you say? Yeah, that's him. If you are slapped on the right, turn the left. Your guy on the right, that somebody beside you, is fighting up and that God is not talking to him. But say, you, the sacrifice I want from you is take the words of the Lord Jesus literally. When they slap you on the left, turn the right. If they slap you on the right, turn the left. Somebody, they borrow my money, don't pay. He said, I want to give you an instruction from today. Never ask. So can I remind the person? No. Hey, by the way, you will still be kind to people. Say, Lord, they will take advantage of me. What do you think I'm trying to do? I want them to take advantage of you. Do you know there's a way God will make your life here? You start looking like a fool. But God said, that's it. That's where my wisdom lies. Until I make a fool out of you, the thing I want to correct in your life, I will not be able to correct it. See, this life is so complicated. I have found out that all that God is asking from us is, allow me. Did you get my point? What is he asking for?
Allow me.
Do you know, if you think you have strength and you can correct things, you will suffer for a very long time. Because what God does is that you just wait. Say, go ahead. Hey, boss, go ahead. When you finish, I'm outside here. You will go fight for your right, fight for your right, struggle for everything. God says, no problem. You come, are you done? Yes. How much are they owing me? 100,000. I collected my money. How much did you collect? 98,000. Good. Let's go. Then tomorrow you will fight and fight. By the time you are 65, you are tired of fighting. You will not drag chair and sit down. Then they will not steal your 10 billion naira. You can't do anything. Meanwhile, what was God saying? Like I can say, please, can you lend me 5 naira? He took it from you. He didn't give you back. I said, don't worry about it. And he said, Lord, but he said, leave it now. Let's go. The time comes. I hope you're getting my point. Because the way you lost 5 naira, I'm going to give you 5 billion. It will get to a point where you will have so much money, it will be a pleasure for you that somebody took from it. Somebody is spending it. Praise God. Please, I hope you're following what I'm going to say. I'm saying system, I want you to follow it. What the Lord does, when he wants to do something strange in your life, when he wants to do what nobody else can do, usually comes and says to you, this one you can do, I don't want you to do it. Different things in different people's area, in different people's lives. There was a man that wanted to enter the ministry. Let me quickly go home and greet people, bye-bye. Jesus said, if you go back, don't come back. And the only thing he did was, I want to go and tell my people, bye. He said, no, come now. So the reference told a story about his life. And listen, Oswald Chambers said, discipleship is not what it costs you. It's what it costs those that you love. You can imagine that after your father finished spending money and everything, you're supposed to now get a good job and start helping other people. You now hear a call to ministry. What rubbish call is that? And God is calling people to good places. They call them to go to somewhere in Europe, North America, at least in Nigeria, Abuja, Lagos, Port Harcourt. They didn't even call you to a serious place. And they call you now. They call you to Ife's place. Ugbokolo. That's where she did NYS. But that's where you are good. And listen, you know God calls people to such places. Now that's not the problem. You know, you also know. It's your father. How do you tell your father? That is the issue. That's what Oswald Chambers said is the cost of what? Discipleship. The fact that people who love you, who you respect, sometimes they depend on you. You have to put the interest of God ahead of their own. That is the cost, he said, of discipleship. It can be hard. Christianity is not a joke. Christianity is not a joke. That's what I'm going to make. It is not a joke. God will sometimes make a demand like that. I was telling you about that young man. Because, okay, I'm not talking about Derek Prince. All right? Derek Prince said that, look, the door opened for him. This young man wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus said, let me go. He told Jesus, let me go and greet everybody. But Jesus said, you can't. You have to come now. Derek Prince said, World War II ended. His grandfather was 90-something years old, if I remember the age well. But the grandfather was old and was kept alive as far as he, Derek Prince, was concerned by his prayers. The man was terminally ill. And the man loved this young boy, this grandson. And he wanted to go back and see his grandfather. Now the war is over. And the British army owed him to transport him back home. He said, but the Lord told him something. Now, I can't remember the details, but a door of opportunity had opened to move his life in a different direction. If he went that way, all right? He didn't know what the future held for him, but he knew there was a future in God. If he went this way, it could go a number of ways. One, he will return home, go back to his job as a university teacher in Cambridge, all right? Where he'll get a good career. He was already doing very well in his career. He will see his grandfather, or he could follow this unknown path. But which was clear was the will of God. Now, just by the way, can I say this to you? When you see such things in front of you, don't jump. No, you go home and pray. You don't make a choice until you know you are ready to die with that choice. It's called the Garden of Gethsemane experience. You will go home and pray until when you come out, you say, let us go. You come out, you're personally convinced. Everybody else may not be. Like I say all the time, faith. What people call walking by faith. It's not faith to the person walking. No. So that person is a personal conviction. I don't know whether I get my point. Is it right that I say he's walking by faith? That is, what would mean that he's not sure what it is? No. To that person, it's such a reasonable thing. It's not a natural thing, but he's convinced. She knows this is what I am supposed to do in God. If you have to make that kind of choice, that's what you do. You go and pray. Until you get to that point. Listen, I'm not saying you delay forever. Are you getting my point? But don't come out of that garden. Okay. So that you will not delay forever. Eh? Go without eating. You know, if you are there chopping, you will be telling God, I'm still trying to decide. Take a time out and say, for the next few days, I'm going to eat only this slice of bread and this cup of water at night. You know, that kind of thing, you will hear God fast because you have to come and eat. But that's what I mean. You pray until you are convinced. The prince looked and said, all right, I follow God. Now, if you don't know, that kind of thing brings tears to the eyes when you are making such decisions. Because his grandfather died having waited for him for years without seeing him. It wasn't funny. He faced a direction that he did not know what the future held. At the end of the day, we saw what God did with his life. He's not the one we're talking about here in this country. He died how many years ago? By the time he died, half of the globe was listening to him on a daily basis. Chinese, his messages were translated into 4 different Chinese languages. His messages were being aired in nothing less than 10 languages worldwide. Let's not talk about English, is the first one, 4 different Chinese dialects. Of course, you know, what they call it, Spanish, French, you know, all of those things, Arabic. Because he made a choice to follow. Do you get what I'm trying to say? See, when God is going to change you in life, eh? I'm telling you, this is what he does. He will make you make a choice. See, Catherine Kuhlman, I've told her story many times. She married somebody else's husband. Nobody recognized the marriage. Nobody. Nobody. God did not recognize the marriage. The family did not recognize the marriage. She herself knew it was wrong. Do you know the day she had to step back into ministry, she just packed her bag and told the man, I'm going. I hope you're getting my point. See, this is very important. I said last time, you cannot leave the press. See, you will never have the strength to obey God except you're always listening to him. You will never. See, this is how you know you want to die in disobedience. When you run away from where the word of God is coming to you. There is no way. Because the strength to obey him comes from the infusion of his word. That's where the strength comes from. It comes from infusion of the word. So when you see somebody start dodging where brethren are gathered, just know that person is doomed. Go and pray for the person that God, may this man break a leg so he can return. Because if he continues on that path, that fellow is doomed. When you see somebody begin to dodge the brethren, be afraid. Literal fear. Be afraid for the human being. Because the only thing that changes us is the word of God. It's the only thing. Nothing else. So I can't remember anything they tell me. God said, I can give you the best memory in the world. How do you get it? Sit down regularly. I said, that doesn't always work miracles. Not overnight. Boom. Yesterday I couldn't remember anything. Today I remember everything. No. Sometimes it does. It's not often. But occasionally it does. But most times, no. Just say, sit down there. Now, this is a worldly method. Close your eyes. Begin to imagine. They told me this. They give you 10 keys on how to for improved memory. How people memorize things. You know, there are a lot of people who give lectures on how to remember things. But you know the truth? Those who tend to remember did not know there were keys to remembering. They just remember. So no, this happened. No, that was 7 years ago. No, that was in the morning. I think it was 5th of July. That would be 2008. Yes, I remember you were wearing a blue shirt that day. And they will just give it to you like, did you record it? No. What are the keys? Does it have a padlock? Did you get my point? They don't. They did not know in the dead keys. They just remember. Now, the worldly system is to come and give us lectures on memory improvement. You will use turmeric for your tea because your brain needs antioxidation. And then, don't eat too much because when you eat too much, the blood will flow to your intestine and then you won't remember things. You understand? Then try and get a connection with something you know. All right? A connection. They give you like, and you know, do they work? Not that they don't work. They work. If you eat turmeric, I'll be like, fish, you see? You eat omega fatty acids, you know? So because of the sphingomyelin and the lecithin that's inside the cell wall of your brain cells, be asking, this guy that remembers everything, what did he eat? That guy has never seen fish. The only thing he eats is bush meat. Do you get where I'm going? The natural ones may work to certain degrees. But God said, look, I'm going to change things. But how does he do? Number one, say, you're a very busy human being, right? Yes. Lesson number one, you will not be busy for me again. When is church service? 9 o'clock. Always be in church by 8:45. Now listen to this. I don't want them to say anything they didn't hear. Yeah, God gives such instructions. When is church service? It's at 9 o'clock. When did the workers pray? Say 8:45. Say be there. What has that got to do with memory? Nothing. Just be there. Pay attention to the prayers. Pay attention to the praise worship. Every song, learn it. They are not difficult to learn. Then when pastor is preaching, no distraction. So go and find yourself a front seat. Stop taking your phone to church. That is why they keep calling you. You'll be forgetting and as message is going on. That's vibration inside your pocket. You can't answer, but it's vibrating there. And because when Elijah is being taken up, if you are going to get the anointing, you can't afford to look away from Elijah for one moment. That brew in your pocket is distraction. It is when the spirit is about to be released that Satan starts calling you. And that Satan can be your friend, can be your father, can be your mother, can be anybody. So God gives somebody instruction like, you have a car, leave the phone in the car. Never come down with it. Never. As long as you get in that church, be lost. Be lost inside the service. Then one day somebody will just call you and say, we need to have this done. Say, but that's not what you said 3 weeks ago. We talked about this. You just remember everything the person said. The person's like, what? Yes, you give the details. You know what? You don't even remember. You don't even realize what has happened. Then after a while, people will not be talking about you. This guy doesn't forget. Don't try to cheat him. He did remember everything. But they will not talk about it behind you. Then somebody will say, this is what they said. They said, me? It can't be me. The person said, oh, you don't know? Know what? The way you remember something is so graphic. And you start wondering, when did that happen? That is what God does most times. See, when we come, listen to this. This is the way of the world, and that's why I'm talking about it. The way of the world, they will give you predictable methods. There's one man who taught me, I don't know why I'm using memory as an example, maybe somebody needs to start remembering things. One day, one man taught me something. I was on TV, one of these scientific shows. And it's a very beautiful thing he explained. So that he gave an example, I've not forgotten it till today. How to remember things. He came wearing a funny hat. So they welcomed him, Mr. Let's assume his name is Alfred Farrow, alright? Farrow, that's his name. You know how come I remember it? When he was talking, I didn't refer to his hat too. So finally he removed the hat. He said, what hat looks like this? All of us said, that's like the hat of a Pharaoh. He said, good. My name is Farrow, Farrow. But because you have seen this hat, you will never forget the Pharaoh of Egypt. More than 10 years later, I remember his name till today. But I can tell you how I remember, can't I? That is the human system. That is the human method. You see this stepwise build-up. But there's a godly method. It's called the infusion of what? The Spirit. When we come to church, please let me begin to round it off here. When we come to church, we come for infusion. What did I say? We come for what? Infusion of what?
Spirit.
The Spirit. That one doesn't have a method. Let's go back to this memory thing. You want to remember things. God wants to remember things. Fine. But they don't even talk about memory. They talk about the second coming of Jesus. Somebody comes and starts telling you about the birth of Jesus Christ. And there was one young girl. She was going one day and the angel came and said, Hail Mary. Full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you amongst women. And blessed is fruit of thy womb. And then this one. And then he said that. And then, oh, hallelujah. Do you know she gave birth to that boy, the Son of God. Amen. And he lived to be 12 years old. And then one day they were looking for him and he was not in the caravan. Where was he found? He was found in the temple asking questions and listening to the instruction from the elders. Hallelujah. Now, which story have I told that you didn't hear in Sunday school? I've told you anything you didn't hear in Sunday school. Then he continued to grow. And he healed the sick. And he raised the dead. And he opened blind eyes. And then one day, Judas betrayed him. And then he was beaten. And he was crucified. But glory to God! On the third day, he rose again from the dead. What have I told you? You have not heard before. Nothing. But you know what? You are paying attention. The fellow is in church. He's describing the life of Jesus for you. He's describing the life of Jesus for you. What you don't know is that you are not hearing the story. That's not the issue. What you are doing is that your heart is being open to Jesus. By telling that story and you following him, it's called looking at Elijah. Please, I'm begging you, when they are preaching, don't be distracted. I've said, if it's like, hey, I want to ease myself, ease yourself before you enter the place. If you think that would be a danger, say, I'm not pressed now, but lest I be pressed. Lest I be pressed, let me go and unpress me now. Because once I enter, I am not shifting my gaze. I am not shifting my attention. What if I feel sleepy, like I say, good enough, a place like England, where there's another hall there. Say, I'll stay in the other hall. And I will stand. Here, I don't even mind people stand at the back. But whatever you are saying today, I must hear it. He said, what about those of us who stream? If you want to pay attention, you know what to do. What is wrong with streaming in your closet while you are standing? You want to stream on the dining table. That is why they are disturbing you. If you put that phone in your hand and you go for a walk, put your earphones. You have a big compound. Somebody sees you pace. You're amazed they run marathon for 2 hours. You will pace up and down, sit on a bench, get up. For the next 2 hours, we are hearing, they will say, but nobody is going to distract me. Why? I'm not trying to learn words. I'm looking at Elijah. Why? Suddenly, he will be taken. And when he's taken, his mantle will drop. And that is when I'm going to collect the anointing. I hope you're getting my point. That's why, see, those who run away from the word of God, they have run away from deliverance. But let's leave them. We're talking about you. How do you get changed? The word of God doesn't just teach you methods. See, one of the reasons why I like reading books, reading testimonies is that, do you know what they do? You just open your heart to what God can do. And once you hear that God can do this, go and read the story of the woman with the issue of blood. When she heard of Jesus, I told the story in 2 of my books, Great Faith Can Be Yours and We Walk By Faith. When she heard of Jesus, what did that do to her? When she heard, that put the spirit of faith into her just by hearing what Jesus was doing. You know the interesting thing? She probably had never heard of anybody touching the hem of the garment, or she may have heard. I don't know. But what happened was that once she heard, the Holy Spirit just entered through those words and said to her, you touch the hem of his garment. But she thought she was more reasoning. See, there's no action you take that's acceptable if it was not initiated by God. That is why I know it was the Holy Spirit that said to her, you touch the hem of his garment. And then she said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Then listen to me. See, God would not ask you to do that which you can't do. Do you get my point?
Yes.
No. If it looks impossible, he plans to supply the strength. You know the thing about Jesus Christ, it was easy to see Jesus. It wasn't easy. I hope you know it wasn't easy. Some people think that Jesus was approachable. By who? If you didn't see Peter, you couldn't see Jesus Christ. It's just that those guys were honest. Judas was making money. How do I know? There was a time he said, let the children come to me. What does that tell you? Not everybody could come. The little ones, Peter, the little ones. Because master needs to rest. Why do you think Zacchaeus went to climb a tree? You think he was a monkey? This was an influential man who didn't know how to get to Jesus Christ. So he said, let me just take a look at him. So he climbed a tree. Jesus now got there. Someone managed to say, Zacchaeus, come down. I need to eat. You are going to your house. So don't assume Jesus was easy to meet. It wasn't. Why do you think people were removing the roof? You think they were in the roof removing business? They got to the door was jammed. They knew he would be there. It wasn't, they knew where to carry the mantle. They got there. Kai! And the guys upstairs. They removed the ceiling. They removed, laid the man down. Now, I'm not emphasizing that getting to Jesus was not exactly as easy as many of us would assume. No, it wasn't that easy. Not because it was hard, that he was a hard person, no. It was just the pressure, the multiple, and he has certain disciplines. He must take his time to rest. He must have his private time. There are places that only his disciples could get to. And he kept his location secret most of the times. For privacy's sake. That's how come they needed Judas to betray him. But where am I going? Jesus said, all right, you. In the midst of this, you have only one assignment. Which is what? Get a hold of the edge of his garment. That's all. How did she get to that point? She heard of Jesus. What am I going to say? That's why I recommend all these books of testimonies. If you don't read books of testimonies, all right, there are many things you will not be able to believe God for. And faith is not a boju. Just make up my mind. No. It's either it enters or it doesn't enter. I'm talking about aligning our spirits. So I love testimonies. I love testimonies. I was listening to the man of God teach the other day. And I was describing how he prayed for one woman and watched over 30 minutes, watching as a tooth, the decayed tooth was recrowned, and they watched it. Yes. It's a tape. I'll just listen to it again and again. I'll just listen to it. Why? I'm provoking faith. Because when you hear such things, see, it is. I don't like Christianity of methods, though. All I ever want to teach is how do you open your heart for the Spirit of God? All I ever want to know is how do I open my heart for the Spirit of God? Because when the Spirit of God enters into it, it will set you on your feet. Yeah. Just with that woman, go and touch the hem of his garment. And the woman said, that's all I need to do. Of course, God has said he would know, help her navigate, move. Still on this side, he's wearing a flowing robe. Because if he said, touch the hem of his trousers now, it may be difficult. So, as soon as it was passing, the woman just went down. Bam. It wasn't supposed to be a long thing. Not grab it. Just touch it. If it's just a swipe at the end, tam. The Spirit said, good, that's it. And of course, the Spirit of God entered into her. The jolt was so great, Jesus felt it. Suddenly he stopped. He wanted to move. Something, a kind of funny tiredness. He stopped and he understood it. He said, virtue has left me. He said, somebody touched me. And the other boys were saying that. Somebody touched you. Did you say somebody or some people? What did Peter say? You can see the multitude not touching you, pressing on you, thronging you. I say, somebody touched you. Oh God, she did talk some this way. We don't understand. Because I believe that it's somebody touched me. Somebody drew power. Now we can't move forward. Who's the person? You know the rest of the story. How did she get to that point that she could tap? It was what she was listening to. Not the letters. The letters profit nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. In this life, you are going to be wise. Let me say it again. It will be because God gave you what is called the Spirit of Wisdom. Let me tell you about the Spirit of Wisdom and I close. See, this is what wisdom is. This is what is called descending of spirits, right? This is what is called a word of knowledge, right? Now, all of them put together, you can have so much information, you don't know what to do with it. Wisdom takes the spirit, takes knowledge, and then puts it together and says, this is how to handle this. So with wisdom, not only do you know what to do. Let me tell you about what knowledge is. You sleep, your name is Pharaoh. And you dream of 10 fat cows. That's it, 7 fat cows, have you? And then 7 lean ones. You don't know what it means. You dream of the wheat also. You don't know what it means. And Joseph says to you, this is knowledge. That's all it is. There will be 7 years of abundance and then 7 years of famine. All right, Joseph, God bless you. Thank you very much. Go back into the prison. Everybody, watch your way. To what you are eating is too much. We have to learn how to manage famine. That is what a natural person probably would have done. But Joseph didn't stop it there. After giving knowledge, and I said, now let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint a tzar in charge of this, who will gather all the excess. And let, now, listen, they have to learn how to store grain that will last 7 years. So I can imagine if it's only the last 3 years, because the first few years they'll be preparing the silos, the storage. Then the last few years they are gathering and gathering enough that everybody around could get to buy and eat in abundance for 7 years of leanness. That is what is called what? Wisdom. Just knowing there will be famine was not enough. People are always telling us things. Most of the things you tell us to do, it won't work now. It won't work. And where is this country going to go? See, I'm sorry to say, most of the solutions, people are afraid for the future of their children, right? Most of the solutions they are bringing forth, we put those children in worse jeopardy. I'm sorry to say it. I learned to Bishop Oedipo yesterday. Let me not start that message. He said some these very things, thank God it's the same spirit. He was lamenting. Why do you abandon where God has made you a man of influence to where you'll be nothing but a slave? Why? You see, you're afraid for the future of your children. And you see this, our senior brother in the faith, Bishop, lamenting as he was preaching. Like, why? Who blinded you? One man said, he closed his clinic. He had about 10 or 12 members of staff working for him. He had 3 cars. He owned the house. He had another house he was living in. He said, I had excess income. He said, okay, what are you doing here? He said, they are treating him like anything. That until he'll be able to pass the exam, he cannot. He's a specialist. So one man now said, why? The person interviewing him, why? He said, you see, they will give my children citizenship. I said, there's a way of being foolish. Then you keep quiet. The Bible says you are considered wise. But it's the way you are so foolish, you blot out your foolishness for the whole world to know how foolish you are. Right now, there are many countries, even in Europe, that sell that thing. Yeah, citizenship. You give them money, they give it to you. In Europe. You want to be a citizen? Bring money. Till today. Are you aware of that? That's from small countries. They're all over. That one's not even a problem. For most of them, $100,000 does the job. Those are small islands here and there. $100,000. They give it. You think this world is heaven? There's corruption everywhere. $100,000, they will give you like this stick. Their passport. $100,000. You're not bribing anybody. Oh, it's not bribery. You transfer the money to your account there and invest it in the country. Even all you do is buy a house. Buy 2 houses, whatever it is. The money has entered their country. Yes. What do you want? Passport. I take now. You are our brother, born of the same father. There are European countries that do it for higher amounts of money. Somewhere like Aliko Dangote, he can be citizen in many countries of this world anytime he wants. Just shift $50 million and invest it. They will salute him. Welcome, sir. Do you want order of the Federal Republic? In some, I'm telling you. You change your whole life because of citizenship. You must think God lives in that place. People make foolish decisions and they think it's wise. The spirit of wisdom, what does it do to you? It constrains you. It directs you. It lets you know where to go when you don't even know there's something to go and see there. Please let me end with this story. It's in the Bible. Nothing. Funny enough. I don't like recommending movies, but I just like telling this story. There's one particular famous, mafia movie. When the Don was going to die, he told his son, when I die, the other guys are going to try a takeover. He had appointed his son as the Don. They will try and kill you. He said, whoever comes to arrange a meeting between this particular rival boss and you is a traitor. That's all they told the son. Shortly after he died, some of you know the movie. All right, I just want to mention it because it's a well-known movie. I don't like recommending movies when I'm preaching. So, of course, at his father's funeral, one of the father's old allies walked up to him and said, this man said he needs a meeting. He wants to make everything okay. I've arranged a meeting on my territory for security reasons. But that guy got back, went to his own guy. He said, what did he say? So they want a meeting on his territory where I will be safe. The other guy laughed. He said, I didn't know this guy would be the traitor. I thought it was the other guy. Make a long story short. The day of the meeting, he prepared for the meeting. As he was supposed to leave, they arrested that guy and went and executed him. Why? He had been trained by his father. It's why I tell the story of mafia movie. Because there's a story like that in the Bible. The youngest son of David, Solomon, born of that last wife we think he married. David appointed him king after Adonijah had made himself king. You know, the day they were celebrating Adonijah was when David went and anointed Solomon king. So one day, Adonijah came up to Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, and said, I want to beg you for something. I want to say, go ahead and ask. You're the king's mother. Can you beg him to let me have Abishag, that little girl that used to lie with David, so that I can marry? That was probably the last wife he married, really. So I can marry her. Ah, and the young woman, well, the woman didn't say anything wrong with that. That is, the woman said, your father is gone. Solomon doesn't want the girl, all right? Doesn't want to inherit his father's wife. So no problem. Let your brother have it. So he walked in and said to the mother, can your brother have her? Let him marry her. And for that request, Solomon ordered the execution of Adonijah. He deposed Abiathar the priest and said they should kill the father's long-term ally, Joab. He said, kill him for me, please. Joab, man of war, he ran, took hold of the horns of the altar. Solomon said, go in there and kill him. If you have to kill him there. Do you know, for a long time, until a few years ago, I did not know what was going on. Why on earth would you do that? Let me summarize. It's called wisdom. Why? He saw the plot. See, we are imagining it. He saw it clearly. Suddenly, Solomon could see the plot. He saw where they met. He knew who was supposed to go first, who will go next. He knew what will go next. He wasn't going to lose his throne, maybe, but that was the attempt. But definitely, there was going to be rebellion in Israel. And he had to kill it when nobody else understood. As for Joab, it was killing two birds with one stone. Because his father had told him, avenge the blood of those two soldiers, those two generals, that Joab took their blood. He took the blood of peace in the time of war. In the time of peace. He killed Abner and killed them. What's the other guy? Amasa, thank you. Ha! So that for him was two birds with one stone. Now, the point I'm making is that how did he see it? It's called the spirit of what? Wisdom. It's the spirit of wisdom. People of God, do you know people are in prison now for doing nothing? They signed a piece of paper, their signature is there. They locked them up, and they didn't do anything. But this is your signature. Yes, it was routine. It's a DG in Federal Ministry of this and that. And they came and said, we need the approval for this and that. And he signed. Then one day, EFCC said, come. How come 4.5 billion naira is missing? So I don't know anything about it. All I do is go to church. To process this and that, you needed to authorize it. Without the signature, that money will have been stuck here. Why did you sign? They show it to you. You can recognize the signature. You can't remember the day you signed. It was one of those things. You signed hundreds of them every month. And that's it. You're in prison. That's you are in prison. And you're like, excuse me. You're in prison. You want to hear the truth? There's no way. There's nothing I want to teach you that anybody can teach you to deliver you from such troubles. Nothing. However, let me tell you about the spirit of wisdom. Spirit of wisdom will just be there that day. You are signing, just get to that point. So in the spirit will say, all the other ones are printed in black. This one is gray. Why? So you bring it to the side and you continue signing. Madam, why, you're talking to your secretary, why is this paper not clear? Can you have it reprinted, please? They go and reprint it. But because of the delay, you now have time to study it. Why do I need to authorize this? Why? You call one or two persons. And somebody says, I don't know. Who's above DG now? As a minister, okay, the PAMSEC, PAMSEC said anything, so you write a memo to the PAMSEC. Say, please, I need your authorization before I approve this, sir. That's it. And the PAMSEC knows that if he says anything, you will say, nah, say me, I sign. So he keeps that one there and pushes to somebody else. Somebody else is in prison. He's giving men in exchange for your life. That's what wisdom does. It delivers you. You don't even know you need deliverance.
Please don't joke with it. How does it come? I've said to you now, there's no way, there's no method anybody can teach. I said, this is how. No. See, you've sat here today for the last 2 hours listening to me talk. It's not what I'm telling you. It's the spirit I'm passing to you. It's not what I'm telling. It's the spirit I'm passing. It's called it's a spirit. Many people go to church. You know, that's why. Right. Thank God for motivational speakers. Oh. But don't let anybody motivate you on the wrong road. You can do it. There's nothing you cannot do. Who told you? There are some things you should not do, even if you could do them. There is no human method of knowing which is which. Only the Spirit of God will guide you. Only the Spirit of God. It will just make you, at the point people will be wondering that, how come you have so much sense? And that's something I like. Some of the testimonies I love, people will just say, somebody asked me the other day, and like I just, you know, and then, you know what David said? I have more understanding than my teachers. What is the reason? Your testimonies, they are my meditation. See, it's more, when you are meditating, let me tell you, see, you must meditate. What did I say? See, he didn't say your testimonies, I obey. Is that what he said? What did he say? They are my what? My meditation, that is. You know, we are murmuring. Yeah, you are murmuring scriptures. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Hallelujah. Just repeating scriptures. Just repeating scriptures. Like I said to Christians, please, I'm sorry, I don't mean. Is it the Spirit of God that's telling me to do this? I think so. Christians, you should pray in tongues, amen? Is it good?
Yes.
Say amen. Say amen if you believe it's good.
Amen.
But it does not replace the scriptures. There is nothing superior to the word of God. Nothing. When the Holy Spirit has enlightened and filled you very well, it makes the word clear to you. 30 minutes of going through Psalms, Prophets, Gospels is superior to 1 hour of speaking in tongues you did not interpret. Superior to 10 hours that you did not interpret. And if you interpret and it goes outside the scriptures, throw it away. You've been talking nonsense. They don't let my brethren who turn you to don't let them confuse you. Is not necessary. You're telling Nico? It's not necessary. It is not necessary. See, I say it to you clearly. What did I say? Say it in Igbo for me. Odirongwa, God bless you. This, all these people here, they can't even speak small Igbo. God bless you, Joe. Odirongwa. It's not. I'm not saying it's bad, just not necessary. Don't wake up in the morning and rah, 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 is how you pray. It's not necessary. If you want to speak, you don't speak. It's a language. Brethren, I've been here, I've been around this thing for long enough. I've seen things. Some of these things that we see on television and videos. Some of these boys are demon possessed. They need deliverance. They think they are praying. I had one of our big ministers in Nigeria said the other day, I said, oh, I've been saying this thing. People did like say at the vex. You should know how to decipher things. We're twisting like a snake. It's a serpentine spirit, not the Holy Spirit. You are back. Please, I want Christians to refocus because you see, the word of God must be your meditation if you are going to be wise. What did I say? If you are going to be wise, the word of God must be your meditation. Let me end it here. I'm not talking about methods on how to tap into some skills. No, I'm saying it's how to open your heart to let the wisdom of God flow into it. If the wisdom of God flows into you, what will happen? You will see things that people are seeing, everybody is seeing, but you are making a different inference and you are making different decisions. We are afraid in quote now, all right, for the future of our children. What are we doing about it is what the issue is. Wisdom will show you what to do. Bow your heads and give thanks for wisdom. I don't want you to pray again. Thank God because today you have received the spirit of wisdom. As that word has been coming forth, you were receiving the spirit of wisdom. As that word was coming forth, you were receiving the spirit of wisdom. As that word was coming forth, you were receiving the spirit of wisdom. As the word was coming forth. Yes, it was also coming with healing. Accept the healing power of God. God can work a miracle. But even if he doesn't work it dramatically, one thing is sure, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is giving life to your mortal body. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is giving life to your mortal body. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is giving life. It's giving life. Just give thanks. Just give thanks. I want to just give thanks. Just give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Say, Lord, foolishness has been removed from my life. Foolishness has been removed from my life. Foolishness has been removed. Now I'm filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of insight, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of God. Yes, I have received it. I have received it. Henceforth, I make decisions that are pleasing to God. I make decisions that lead me further on the path of destiny. Yes, that's what wisdom is doing for me. Say, Lord, I receive it. I receive wisdom. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. As you depart from here, goodness will go with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Favor is your portion.
Amen.
No criminal will take your money because of foolishness.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, one day, somebody will look at you and say, why are you this wise? Amen. Let me just beg you, remember to give God the glory.
Amen.
The wisdom of God will speak to you.
Amen.
The wisdom of God will speak for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I gave you an instruction. Don't forget to give him the glory. When they say, Joseph, how come you know? He said, no, it's God that gives interpretations. That way, how come you know there's a God in heaven? That will be your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Like Daniel, you will excel.
Amen.
Say amen, or like you want that.
Amen.
I said, like Daniel, you will excel.
Amen.
And like Joseph, you will be distinguished.
Amen.
Kings will send for you.
Amen.
Kings will send for you.
Amen.
Somebody need to collect that thing. Kings will send for you.
Amen.
Kings will send for you.
Amen.
Earthly kings. Corporate kings.
Amen.
Kings of all sorts, they will send for you.
Amen.
You will interpret dreams for them.
Amen.
And give them the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Through your life, Jesus will take his glory.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Now let's share the grace in fellowship, kingdom will start. One, two, let's go.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our sitting of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, cherub brethren, God bless you.